breath, I would talk. When I take a breath, he would talk. And we just went there for about 2 hours. And then Rick invited me to Hawaii. That's where I went. This is the guy that invited me to Hawaii last year. I went to hear a man called Ed Salvozo and his team in Harvest Evangelism. And these boys are taking cities already and taking nations already for Jesus. And they are seeing impact, not just in small households, but in communities across cities, in businesses across cities. These guys are seeing it all happening. And I feel and sense in my heart that even Rick and Rachel being here this morning is a deposit of God into this church and into our future in city reaching. And I want to, before Rick comes, we're going to show a 15-minute video. And yet we're running over a little, but we you will, believe me, you will enjoy and you will be deposited this morning in something. We're going to show this video called The Elk River Story. And this is about a city who God is impacting in dramatic ways. And then Rick will come straight up and Rick will get into some of the paradigms and some of the tools and principles that God has given these guys to actually be city reachers. Absolutely brilliant. Guys, this is Rick. We had a beautiful distraction at the beginning of the meeting, and our extended worship of God was wonderful. We're going to stay on for a bit longer today to hear this man. He's a brother in the Lord. He's becoming a great friend, and I believe Rick, in Ephesians 4, it says this, that God, Christ gave gifts to the church, and this man is one of those gifts. And I bless you, brother, in Jesus' name. Speak to us.
Hello? Okay, good morning. How are y'all? I'm pleased to be here because I'm here because I am carrying something. And my wife is carrying some. Stand up, Rachel, and just give everybody a wave. I would just honor my wife. You know why I do that? Because in the Bible it says that husbands, you're to dwell with your wives with understanding, honoring them as the weaker vessel and seeing them as heirs together with you of the grace of life, lest your prayers be hindered. So how could I stand up here and talk about having you all go out and pray for people in your spheres of influence if I didn't mention the fact that it's a critical, important concept to be in unity in your family, where husbands and wives are dwelling together in unity? It's a huge process, a hugely important thing. But I want to follow up on what you watched with Elk River and talk about two components. One is the transformation principles of, the paradigms, five pivotal paradigms. They're just ways of shifting. Reality didn't change. Our way of looking at reality changed. That's called a paradigm shift, right? So today I'm believing that some of you, maybe all of you, are going to have a paradigm shift. That you're going to go out of here seeing things in Dublin different than you came in thinking about them, okay? And then I'm going to talk about Elk River and talk about what made Elk River so significant. Okay, the first one is going to be that we're called to disciple nations, not just individuals. Now, how many people have just recently given their lives to Jesus Christ? I know a lot of you are new believers, but how many people are within the last year or so? Praise God. Give the Lord a hand. Now, that's individual salvation, but now I'm asking you to start thinking about the salvation of the city of Dublin, Ireland. Have you ever given that any time to think in your own brain? Dublin, Ireland, saved? How about the entire nation of the Republic of Ireland? Amen. That's what we came to talk about. We came to talk about going beyond individuals, and now doesn't mean we're going to stop looking for individuals, but it means we're going to start believing that we're working on transforming the city and this country. The second principle is the marketplace, which has been redeemed, now needs to be reclaimed. Jesus Christ redeemed it 2,000 years ago on the cross, redeemed the marketplace. And when I use the word marketplace, I'm meaning business, education, and government. Can you say that? Business, education, and government. That's the heart of the city. And if you want to change the city, you have to change the heart of the city. Okay? And Jesus Christ already won it on the cross, but now we need to go into the marketplace and reclaim it. The next point is everybody who's a minister in this room, raise your hand. Every single person ought to have your hand in the air. Let's try it again. How many people in this room are a minister? Okay, absolutely. Some of them, like your pastor, is to equip the rest of you. But you, who are in the rest of the seats, you need to receive that equipping and say, I am a minister in the marketplace. I've been commissioned. I've been equipped. I've been sent by my pastor. So when you go out into your jobs and when you go out into your neighborhoods, you are carrying that assignment. You are sent ones. You are being sent into your place where you have influence. And what is the objective? To take responsibility for bringing transformation to that area. Let me just say one more thing about that. Labor is worship. Wasn't this way worship amazing? You didn't have to apologize for going a little long. I just had such a great experience in the worship here today. I want to come back to Dublin and have worship with you every Sunday. But I want to say, worship isn't just something you do on Sunday morning. Worship is also labor. When you go to work, could you do your job and do it all for the glory of God? Absolutely. And it changes the way. Could you work for your boss and say, I'm working for my boss as if I'm working for the Lord Jesus Christ? That would change the way you relate to your boss, wouldn't it? Okay. So the fourth point is we're called to take the kingdom of God to where the gates of Hades are operating. Okay, where are the gates of Hades operating? They're operating in the marketplace. They're operating in business, education, and government. And what are we supposed to do? We're to take the kingdom of God to those places. And it's not a patty cake kind of deal. We're there to take over. Greater is he who is in me, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the marketplace. Okay, things ought to change just because you're there. Okay, and then Jesus will build his church. And then this is the final one. You heard a lot about this on the DVD. Nation transformation, in order to be tangible, the primary social indicator is the elimination of systemic poverty. Now, Jesus said the poor will always be with you. So we're not just talking about doing away with poor people. What we're doing away with are man-made evil systems that keep people trapped in poverty. I haven't got time to go into that, but I'm saying think about places in your lives or in your city where you know that man-made systems are keeping people trapped. They have no upward possibility. That's what we're trying to eliminate. Okay, now we're going to Elk River. And we need to see this concept of unity and prayer evangelism as the keys that made Elk River so good. When I talk about unity, I'm talking about stepping from on the platform of Scripture, which says that when, and I'll just summarize this quickly, Jesus prayed, Lord, when they are one just as you and I are one, then the whole world believes that you sent me. Okay? So unity, what your pastor is doing with other pastors in Dublin Arise, that's huge. In many cities, that doesn't go on. They're already doing that here, and I believe there's already a move of God bringing unity in this city. And unity includes pastors and pastors, but it also includes pastors and the rest of us. We need to be in a place where we're looking at this as from a point of being peers. We're looking at this as being teammates. Your pastor is equipping you, but you're going out on assignment to make it happen, and you come back and you share what's going on, and you're working on it together. But it also needs to be between pastors and intercessors and in between husbands and wives, as I mentioned. Psalm 133 says how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. And what happens is the Lord releases a blessing, even life forevermore, in the midst of that unity. And that's what we've got in Elk River. There is a deposit of unity, a deposit of blessing that came because we got into a place of unity. Now, prayer evangelism is talking to God about your neighbors before you talk to your neighbors about God. Now, let me tell you, a lot of people talk about evangelism, and I think many people think that Rick is here to talk to me about knocking on my neighbors' doors and telling them they're going to go to hell without Jesus, and then the people slam the door in my face and I get upset about that. No, this is a whole different concept. This is talking to God about your neighbors before you talk to your neighbors about God. And I'll tell you, it changes the way you do evangelism. Okay, in 1 Timothy 2, it says, therefore, first of all, I exhort you, first of all, through that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. How many people live in the city of Dublin? 1.6 million. So how many people does that verse mean we got to pray for? 1.6 million. See, get your mind to a higher level. The Lord wants you to go exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask or think. Then he says he wants us to pray for all men. I mean, for kings and all those who are in authority. Think about praying for the, what is the president of the country? Prime Minister. Okay, Prime Minister. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't speak Irish yet. Okay, Prime Minister. Think about praying for the Prime Minister. Think about praying for the cabinet. Think about praying for the legislation, whatever body is called. And that we're to pray for everyone in authority. What will happen? That will lead peaceful, quiet and peaceful lives in all godliness and reverence. The spiritual climate change will take place. And this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who, our Savior, who desires that all men will be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. How many men? 1.6 million. The whole city gets saved. Okay. Now, what's the thing that's keeping people from receiving the Lord Jesus Christ? Right here is the answer. Let's read this out. Would you read it with me? But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You know why I care about that verse so much? Because, or those two verses? Because that's where I was for 38 years. I'm 66 years of age today, but I'm telling you, I was an unbeliever up until age 38, and all of a sudden I went from not knowing Jesus Christ to where the veil was removed and my spiritual eyesight was opened up, and I saw the light of the gospel, the glory of Jesus Christ. That can only be done by the Holy Spirit. But we have to begin interceding for our neighbors and our co-workers so that that veil can be removed in their spiritual eyesight. There is a role for talking to them. I'm not trying to eliminate that, but I'm saying this is called prayer evangelism, right? Okay. All right, I'm going to skip over a couple of slides here because I don't want to run out of time. Okay. Now look at what Paul said in this verse. Let's just read this one too. For my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know what? I think lots of times we do too much talking and not enough demonstration of the Spirit and power. So that's another point that I want to make with you today, is this is about demonstrating the Spirit and power. How do you do that? With prayer. Okay. Now we're going to get to prayer evangelism in its purest form. In Luke 10, verse 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Now just think about this. Every place that Jesus is going to go, he wants you to go there first. Amen? Amen? So think about that place that you live. Think about that place that you work. Think about that place that you go to social clubs or athletic clubs. Whatever it is, he's sending you in those places to prepare the way for him to come there. Okay? And I'm going to skip over some slides here because this is going to be too much if I try and cover all of this. Just bear with me while I get to the slide I want to get to. Okay. I'm going to go back just one slide. There we are. Now that brings us to the second slide, which says, or the second verse, which says, then he said to them, the harvest truly is great. Can you say the harvest is truly great? Okay, now wait a minute. Can we try it a little bit more seriously? The harvest is truly great in Dublin, Ireland. Amen? Okay. But the laborers are few. Well, let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, you get the idea. We don't have thousands of people here, do we? But I'm telling you, I don't think it's about the number of people. It's about where the people are. And he says, therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send his laborers out into the harvest field. Where is the harvest field? Is that in this building? No, the harvest field is out there. We've got to be sent out into the harvest field. So that's the prayer. Now, can you pray that prayer? Lord, please send the laborers out in the harvest field. But guess what? You're the laborers that he's going to send. You're the ones that are going to answer the prayer that he just made. Now, look at the third verse. He says, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Anybody here think that lambs and wolves like hanging around together in the natural? No. What happens to lambs when they hang around with wolves? They make their lunch, right? And I think a lot of Christians think that way too. But I want you to know that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That's not just a nice little saying, right? That's the reality of Scripture. That's what I'm standing here trying to impart to you, that greater is he who is in you than he who is in that wolf. In fact, the wolf ought to be intimidated by you. The wolf ought to be intimidated by you. You're the one that's going to infect him, not the wolf infecting you, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Okay. Now there are 4 points that follow this, and this is the slide that's going to have the essence of prayer evangelism. First word is bless. Can you say bless?
Yes.
The second word is fellowship. Can you say fellowship?
Fellowship.
Third word is minister. The fourth word is proclaim. Okay, let's look at them in sequence. The first verse is verse 5. This is Luke 10, verse 5, and it says, first, speak peace to this house. When your pastor said, what is the essence of your talk? I said, it's verse 5, Luke 10, verse 5. First, speak peace to this house. And I want to tell you, I have a different perception of peace than maybe you've heard before. We're going to talk about that in a little bit of detail. When you speak peace to the wolf, the demonic forces that have been keeping the gospel hidden from them is going to be, the demonic forces are going to be removed, and all of a sudden fellowship is going to happen between you and the lost. Right? Okay, then you have an opportunity while you're fellowshipping with that wolf to find out what is broken in their lives. And once you find out what that broken thing is, you say, could I talk to my God about your problem? Could I talk to my God about your problem? You may think that's an odd thing, but I'm telling you, I have prayed for people in some of the darndest situations, and they always are welcome to having me pray those kind of prayers. And once you pray that prayer, then you can say, you know the reason you're feeling that way? Because the kingdom of God has come near to you. That's what it says in verse 9b. So let me just talk about this concept of peace like a weapon. Several years ago, I was in a conference in Oslo, Norway, and at lunchtime, we were taken to a Chinese restaurant, and the young Chinese waiter came up to me, and we took our order, and I said, we're going to pray in a minute, but we'd like to bless you before we bless the food. And he looked at me a little strange. That wasn't a typical thing for somebody to say to him, but he said, okay, how do I do that? I said, take my hands. And I looked him in the eye, and I said, Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd open the windows of heaven and shower this man with so many blessings, he wouldn't know what to do with them all. In the name of Jesus Christ. Right in front of my eyes, the countenance of this man changed. Why? Because the God who is in me was chasing the God who is in him out of this place, the demonic that was in him out of this place. And it changed the countenance of his face. I looked over at the pastors like, do you see what I'm seeing? I didn't want to say anything. It would have blown the moment. But after I saw that, the guy started talking about Jesus. I've been thinking about Jesus. I've been wanting to know more about Jesus. I said, would you like to meet Jesus right here in this restaurant? He said, yes. How do I do that? I said, take my hands one more time. And I led him in a prayer to open his heart and welcome Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Do you see how prayer led to evangelism? Do you see how speaking peace led to evangelism? How many people in here want to be peacemakers? Okay, I want you to stand up, because I don't want to just talk to you. You know what I like to say? Some things are caught more than they're taught. So I want you to just close your eyes right now and let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you about what it means to be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will become children of God. They will become known as children of God. And the whole world is eagerly anticipating the manifestation of the children of God. Put your hands out in front of you, because I'm going to ask the Lord to deposit an anointing of peacemaking in your hands. Lord, I come boldly into your throne room of grace right now, and I ask you to release a new measure of faith, mountain-moving faith, city-transforming faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that you have never seen before. Lord, I ask that you'd put aside those things that they've seen before into a place they can find them again, but give them a revelation of those things they've never seen before, about a Dublin that's completely transformed in their lifetime. Give them a sense that that's real, and let them attach the eyes of their faith to that vision. And Lord, I ask that you would release an anointing to speak peace. Peace like a weapon. And so that they would have smiles on their face, but they would be realizing that they're speaking peace out of the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I ask that you would allow them to receive an anointing of compassion. Jesus looked at the multitudes and he was moved with compassion, because he saw that they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Lord, I pray that everyone in this congregation would look at the wolf from now on with the eyes of Jesus, that he wants none to perish and all of those wolves to come to repentance in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I release all of these anointings now into the hands of everyone in this room in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now take your hands and just go like this and say, I receive it, Lord Jesus. And I will use it for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Exciting, isn't it? I said to Rick on the... I said to Rick on the phone a couple of weeks ago, I said, Rick, you scared the life out of me. And he goes, will I stop? And I says, no, don't stop. Just keep elevating, keep pushing, keep inspiring, keep causing me to believe and to reach out for the greater things that God has for this city and this nation. And I just love what Rick said, and Rick deposited something in our lives today. Like, I've been in restaurants with this guy. He does this all the time. He scares the life out of you. I think he scares the life out of Ed Savozzo even when he does this stuff. And Ed is the one that the Lord gave the paradigms to. But, like, you know what? Speak peace. You know, connection. You know, we're not against people. We're for people. We're not against what they're doing. We have an answer to everything that is going on in this world. And we are the answer. Just quickly, I was in a restaurant, a cafe up in the barn with Jason during the day, and we got talking to like five or six young ones. And one of them said, like, well, how do I know God is real, you know? And we just said simply, ask him to show you that he's real. I don't have to prove God. I don't have to have a debate, because he wants us to experience him. And she says, okay, she says, God, I'm starving. Can I have a sandwich? When we went over and sat down, right, me and Jay had a sandwich. And I, you know, there's two bits on it. And I looked over and I said, Sophie, I says, would you like a sandwich? And she got all embarrassed. Says, no, I don't, you know, and whatever. And I just thought about it later, that actually I was somebody's answer to giving the sandwich. That's peace. That's the simplicity, but yet the incredible power of what Rick is telling us, that we actually, you know, sandwich. honestly, I know that girl received something. I know it. I wasn't even doing it for that reason. It's only later on I thought of it. Wow, I was actually the answer to her prayer, that God was going to show her something. Do you want a sandwich? So I commission you to go out this week to find places to speak peace into. In Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you for this great day. Lord, we receive this deposit of God out of this ministry, Lord, out of what they have seen, Lord. Father, I want to see greater things, Lord, than even Ed or Rick has seen or Rachel has seen, Lord, in their world, oh God, in their ministry, Lord. We want more, Lord God. We want increase, oh God. Lord, we want your heart, Father, the same that we want none to perish, oh God, but all to come to know you, Jesus, and know what life really is, Lord. So, Lord, I send liberty out, Lord, to bring liberty, to bring peace, to bring Jesus to our city, to our communities, to our workplace, to our hospitals, to our families, oh God. We just, Sharon is not here. She just went to the hospital with Vivian, who took some type of turn earlier on. So, Lord, we just stand and pray for Vivian. Let's stand. Lord, we don't know what type of turn this is, Father God, but we pray right now, Lord, for your healing, Lord, to be upon her, Lord. We pray, Father, for this to stop, Lord God, Father, Lord, for it to cease this moment, oh God, that, Lord, Vivian would know, Lord, our prayers. She would know the power that is being released, Father, into her body, Lord God. Father, you be with Sharon and Carol as they just stand with her and minister to her this day, Father God. Father, we bless you, Lord, and I send this great church out, Lord, into this great city, Lord, to serve a great God, Lord, and to bring great things, Lord, for your name's sake. And we all say amen and amen. Don't forget, if you want some of Rick's books, they're on sale downstairs. And see and pray tonight at 6:00.